Welcome back to The Young Turks. Anna Kasparian with a completely different panel with you. An awesome panel. Ida Rodriguez joins us. Brett Ehrlich also joins us, and he will be leading the hour, which is my favorite thing in the world.
Hold on to your butts.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good. Before we get to the stories, though, I do want to read a few of your hashtag TYT lives. I am Sock. I am Sock is like killing the game with his or her tweets, because I feel like we hear from I am Sock on every show. This person, I don't know if you're a man or a woman, so I apologize, says, everyone calls Donald Trump a moron. Isn't Putin's pet name for him useful idiot?
Yeah,
he is a useful idiot, that's for sure.
Is I am Sock related to I am Job from Mrs. Doubtfire? That's just a Mrs. Doubtfire reference for people.
What is I am
Job? I am Job.
Oh yeah.
It's one of the voices that now probably is insensitive culturally, but continue.
Super Last Thing says, we were all thinking about it. Rex just said it, referring to Rex calling Trump a moron. Matthew Reed says, the feeling when you have a press conference because you allegedly called the president a moron. I love that Tillerson story. It's fun.
Does any American think that that's not true?
Yes.
Like Trump said fake news, but does anyone really think?
Yes.
Is there an American who has not at one point thought, he's kind of a moron?
Well, I mean, I mean, you'd be surprised.
Yes.
You don't have to tell me. No one has to come out and tell us or write in the comments that they think that at some point they've said Trump's a moron. I just think they need to go into the bathroom, Insecure style, shut the door, look at yourself in the mirror and say, yeah, I believe that. Just be honest with yourself is all I'm asking.
You just made my day by mentioning Insecure. Everyone needs to watch Insecure on HBO.
I hated season one.
No.
It was so frustrating.
No.
I went on multiple shows on the TYT network and said bad things about Insecure. Last night, I watched like the entire second season, and it is one of the best shows.
Issa Rae is a national treasure. I have the biggest girl crush on her. I never leave comments ever on celebrities' Instagram pages, ever, ever, ever. I don't even really follow celebrities on Instagram, mostly people that I know in real life. But I do follow Issa Rae, and I felt a little pathetic, but I just wrote, I love you on one of her posts. She's amazing.
I do that to you all the time.
But you know me, and it's not creepy. I feel like I'm creepy when it comes to Issa Rae.
The way you feel, I have similar feelings, but it's made even worse by virtue of the fact that season one I didn't like very much.
Can you stop talking about
that? I feel so much guilt that this is how I'm dealing with it, is coming on this show and being like, I am sorry. It is so great, season two.
I love to hear that a white guy has caught on to Insecure, because I've been watching Issa Rae since she was Awkward Black Girl.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And I binge watched the web series, and I was like, this girl is fearless.
Yeah.
Like, this girl is telling the truth.
The best part about it's so well done that like I feel like one of the white characters on the show.
Yeah.
Like by liking it, I'm doing something wrong. Like I'm being bad, but in a way that they'll understand like the approach of, but still like expose what's wrong with me in a way I didn't know.
It's just a good show.
Yeah,
you're overthinking it.
It's so good. I am overthinking it.
Real quick, member shout outs. Thank you so much to all of our members for helping keeping us independent. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be able to do the type of content that we do on a regular basis. You are the reason why we are uncensored, unfiltered, and we are incredibly grateful for that. Andreo Chavarria is one of our members. Thank you. And Jamar White is another member who's getting a shout out today. You guys are awesome. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We will have a post game show today, so make sure you tune in. And if you'd like to become a member and support independent journalism, just check us out at tyt.com/join. tytnetwork.com/join. All right.
But just one thing, your eyebrows look amazing.
Well, thank you.
They look perfect. They are on super bam bam fleek.
Thank you. I got lucky with my eyebrows. Anyway, you guys don't care, so just, but thank you.
I have this one eyebrow hair that I pluck, and because it grows so fast, and it's back. Like it's this long. We can talk about it in the post game for as much time as we need. It's this long right now.
We're not going to talk about eyebrow hair in the post game.
All right, got it. Okay, all right, let's get to serious. There's some very serious things. I'm sorry that I'm delaying it. Okay. There's so many things to think about and talk about in the wake of the Las Vegas shooting, and they've been talked about on this show quite a bit. I will say that there is another aspect of it that some people might not have thought about, which is for the victims of the shooting who were taken to hospitals, how much are they in for in terms of medical expenses when all is said and done? There recently was a report put out by the peer-reviewed Health Affairs Journal, and it found, quote, gun-related injuries result in nearly $3 billion in hospital costs each year in the US. Patients were charged about $5,000 on average for emergency department services and nearly $96,000 on average for inpatient services, according to the study, which focused on patients who were alive when they arrived to the emergency room, just to tell you who they were studying in this case. And Market Watch adds that this is likely an underestimated figure, as is, mentioned by the writers of the study. They say that this doesn't focus on the extra costs like rehabilitation, readmissions, and lost incomes while you're recovering from your and being treated for your injuries. So just that number is around $100,000 for being the victim of a gunshot and going to the hospital. So what are your reactions to that number?
So it doesn't quite fit with the argument that we make when it comes to Wall Street, doing the shady things that they do, betting against us and some of the damaging behavior to our economy. But when it comes to Wall Street, we always argue that they privatize the gains, socialize the losses. And in this case, we're not talking about the government, forcing Americans to pay anything, but we are talking about private US citizens who are victims of gun violence having to pay the costs associated with insanely lax gun regulation. And these types of medical bills destroy people's lives, right? Mm-hmm. And far too often when we talk about the gun debate, we focus heavily, as we should, we focus heavily on those who lost their lives. But I think that it's important to have a conversation about people who were severely injured and who did have their lives changed in an incredibly drastic way because of getting victimized by this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's such a heavy debate because only when I talk about things like this do I get death threats on, mm-hmm. On social media, or when I get people that get very volatile, when people think you're trying to take their guns away. But the reality of it is that somebody pays the price eventually. And even that country singer who actually stood up and said, I was wrong. Mm-hmm. All that I thought about guns, people around me had guns and no one could help. It was just the reality that so many people are not willing to come to terms to until they are personally affected by tragedy. But this is, that's a double tragedy. Do you know what it is to be in recovery and then still have to worry about being in debt? And it's just, that's the medical part. But you know that there's a mental health component to this, to some people who are gonna need therapy for post-traumatic
disorder.
Disorder. And that is also a tragedy. And it just makes me so sad that people get so volatile when you think about regulating guns, but it just trickles down into places that you don't even think about. And now over 500 people are gonna have to worry about their finances in addition to healing physically, emotionally, and mentally.
First of all, I just wanna mention that country singer who said, I was performing when that all went down. Mm-hmm. And the statement that he made is a brave statement and one that I'm glad happens at all. Mm-hmm. Whether you disagree with it or agree with it, I'm glad it happens at all. That is someone who looks at the facts, goes through an experience, whatever it takes, and readjusts their position. What I will say is the way he frames it, his first sentence is something like, I was a fierce proponent of the Second Amendment until last night.
Yep.
And one of the aspects that's so sad for me is the extent to which the other side has won a part of the debate by making him frame it that way.
Right, exactly.
Like you're either a proponent of the Second Amendment or you're in favor of gun control. And what I would say to him and others like him is that those two things aren't necessarily at odds with each other.
Right.
A lot of rights that we have are limited in decent, smart ways that you would agree with. And I think there's a lot of common sense gun legislation mm-hmm. that still says that Americans who behave a certain way, who, you know, are able to be licensed and pass certain checks can still have a gun and haven't behaved in a way, or, you know, if they're a victim of if they're suffering from a mental illness or whatnot, like, we can still defend the Second Amendment and restrict who is able to get
it. You're absolutely right. Yeah. And the people that have framed this issue as a black or white issue are, you know, the weapons manufacturers, the gun manufacturers, and the NRA, because they don't want an intelligent discussion on it, right? They want to frame anyone who would do anything, pass any type of legislation that would limit the profitability of these weapons manufacturers as anti-Second Amendment individuals. And that's just not true. Yeah. Now, are there people who, you know, are, I don't even want to say radical, but people who are on the extreme end of the spectrum who say, no, we should ban all guns? Yes, those people absolutely do exist. Is that representative of everyone who's trying to have a legitimate conversation and debate about gun legislation? Absolutely not. And I've been open about that. You know, I've talked about, you know, my own desire to own a weapon for self-defense. And so that doesn't, just because I think, you know, someone like Paddock shouldn't have had the ability to buy a product that essentially turned his semi-automatic weapon into an automatic weapon, doesn't mean I'm against the Second Amendment. It means that I'm concerned about human lives. I want to limit as much as possible the amount of people who lose their lives when some insane person decides that they want to open fire on a group of people.
And that statement is you agreeing with something that most people agree
with. That's right, yeah.
It's difficult in Nevada. I read a Newsweek article that reported that they have certain laws where there's a very little limitation on who, on what you have to register when you purchase a firearm and whatnot. So it's difficult, but what it comes down to is a lot of research needs to be done. Mm-hmm. And there's problems with, you know, the system that we have that dissuades research from being happened. We're gonna skip to graphic 3. And this is a statement from the people who did the report that I mentioned earlier. They say, although firearm-related injuries are a major public health concern with significant financial consequences, research in this area has been limited as a result of a lack of funding. Only through the adoption of an evidence-based public health approach can the resulting substantial medical and financial burden be reduced. Mm-hmm. And there are limitations on how much research can be done. And it's due to, I forget what the name of the amendment was. It's the Dickey Amendment, which was put on the omnibus spending bill back in the 90s. Right. And it said that you can't take CDC money, Center for Disease Control money, which, you know, is involved with allocating funds in order to research public health threats. Mm-hmm. And it says you can't use it in order to do research that could contribute in some tangential way to gun control legislation.
Well, the gun lobby doesn't want that information out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's, but it's so difficult. There's an amazing video where President Obama was on PBS and someone asked him a question. He says, I was in a meeting today which said, where I want to, you know, limit people who have access to guns, who we put on other lists. And I want to research this the way we researched, say, you know, auto safety.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the way that that resulted in seatbelts. And I can't do that because there's no way we can research freely. And what's so ironic to me is it's called the Dickey Amendment. And then in 2015, Governor Jay Dickey, you know, the late Governor Jay Dickey, whose name is on this amendment, said this to CNN. He said, it is my position that somehow or some way we should slowly but methodically fund research until a solution is reached. Doing nothing is no longer an acceptable solution.
When was that?
This was in 2015, before he died. This is what the article I found on CNN is from 2015. And if the guy whose name is on the amendment on the omnibus spending bill that just gets passed through despite everyone trying to pull it out on the Democratic side, if he can change his mind on this, then anyone can.
Yeah. Anyone can, as long as they're not influenced by that money,
absolutely,
right? From the NRA, from the gun lobby. It's a powerful form of controlling lawmakers. And that is the one and only reason, the main reason, the primary reason why our lawmakers, some Democrats included, refuse to do anything about gun control.
And it's become such an emotional argument. It's like a mass hysteria because they've tied in patriotism with owning a gun. Mm-hmm. And it's become So as a comedian, you know, we were directly affected by that NRA ad that was very volatile because they actually mentioned comedy clubs in there. Like when we were like the enemy of the NRA because the NRA came for us. So the volatility in comedy clubs has increased. And now we have to worry about somebody who's in the audience that could potentially have a gun that doesn't like what we have to say, and consider what we say to be un-American, because now everything is either you're up pro-American or anti-American. And if you kneel, you're anti-American. If you shoot guns, you're pro-American to this type of mentality. But it's really scary for those of us who are people who are actually exercising our American rights. I have people put on my Facebook page that this is the greatest country in the world because we can own guns in case the military comes to get us.
This is not the greatest country in the world. You have been misled by jingoistic propaganda. It's not the greatest country in the world because we have lawmakers who are completely ineffective in leading, in protecting our fellow Americans. We have a government that's disgustingly corrupt. We have a government that purposefully puts our soldiers in harm's way merely for the profit of weapons manufacturers and private contractors. No, this is not the best country in the world. And if you don't believe in anything I'm saying, I mean, take a look at our statistics in education, in healthcare, in all of the essentials in life compared to other countries. We are not the best country in the world. I think that the idea of America is incredible, but we don't follow through with that idea. We like to, you know, swing it around and pretend as if that's something that we value. But we just talk about the idea of America. We don't actually put action behind it. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. I know that might have hurt some people's feelings, but that's what's really going on.
I get your rhetorical stance and why you're saying it and how you're saying it. But your dog is not the best dog in the world, but you still love it more than anything else.
That's a great way of putting it. That is a great way of putting it.
I agree. But you know, the reality of it is if the military comes for you, do you really think you got a shot with your whatever you
have? I believe there's like this fantasy.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah, it's like because your gun safe is in the same room where you watch 300. You watch it and you're like, I could take down Persia or the equivalent.
By the way, just real quick, going back to the death threats that you're getting from gun advocates. I mean, if they're trying to make the argument that we need looser gun restrictions and then they simultaneously threaten your life, I don't know. I feel like they're being a little counterproductive. Maybe a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next. It's a related story to the Las Vegas shooting, but it's about the girlfriend of the, you know, man who perpetrated this terrible act. The shooter in the Las Vegas shooting, his girlfriend was sent away before the massacre. As soon as they, you know, reported on the shooting and determined the name of Stephen Paddock, then they also released this name of Mary Lou Danley. Now, her sisters did an interview in Australia to a local news channel, and they said she was sent away. She was sent away so that she will not be there to interfere with what he's planning. In that sense, I thank him for sparing my sister's life, she said, adding that Danley was really in love with Steve. Also in that same interview was this. One of the sisters said she didn't even know where she was going to the Philippines until Steve said, Mary Lou, I found you a cheap ticket to the Philippines. I mean, you know what's weird is like I'm so interested in all of this.
Yeah.
Like,
it's super strange.
So I have a friend who was there and she was at the concert and one of the people in her group was shot and they ran. And they all got separated. She hid in a hangar for seemed like an hour, I guess. I was texting her the whole time. And she's not bothered by the situation. I don't know why, she's just a badass. But what bothers her is this, like, no idea of what the motive is.
Mm-hmm. Right, of course.
And so I spent yesterday, I listened to the entire police, you know, scanner channel for an hour. Watch video after video, just trying to sort through it. So when you see stuff like this, like, what are your reactions to the idea that she was sent away ahead of time?
I don't know. I don't know what was going on. And you know, this is a breaking news story. So I just got a news alert about it, and I want to read you guys a statement that Mary Lou Danley prepared through her lawyer. And here's what she had to say. She said, I want to talk to them, referring to FBI agents. She said she willingly flew back to the United States. I will cooperate fully with their investigation. Anything I can do to help ease suffering and help in any way, I will do. She also said that Stephen Paddock never said anything to me or took any action that I was aware of, that I understood in any way to be a warning that something horrible like this was going to happen. She also said that he bought her a cheap ticket to see her family in the Philippines a little more than 2 weeks ago and then wired her money, she said in a statement prepared by her attorney. So she also said, I was grateful, but honestly, I was worried that first the unexpected trip home and then the money was a way of breaking up with me. It never occurred to me in any way whatsoever that he was planning violence against anyone. So again, that was a statement that was released through her lawyer. She is now cooperating and answering questions to the FBI or with the FBI. And I don't know if we'll find a motive through that investigation, but that is what she has said so far.
What's really been so frustrating in the wake of this tragedy, and without any insensitivity to the victims, because at the end of the day, that's really what it's about, these people who lost their lives and the ones who survived them and the ones who've been injured. But the narrative around this story is so sickening. I'm exhausted. We heard more about this woman than we did about this man, this Asian woman. And I mean, why does her last name is this? Why do we keep seeing her? Nobody wants to say this man is a terrorist. Nobody wants to say that this man killed these people. And it's exhausting to someone who's brown, because if we all know that would have been a brown man, all we would have been hearing about was him. This has been Obama's fault, that lady's fault, because she didn't tell, but nobody wants to say that this white man Pat Robertson blamed it on Colin Kaepernick and the people kneeling.
On people disrespecting the president.
The president of the United States, another Fox person went out and said that this is what happens when people kneel. So you didn't tell me that a white man went and shot 50 people, 59 people, oh no,
shot
over 500 white people at a country concert because Colin Kaepernick and black people were kneeling. We need to really be honest about this story. This person, whether they had mental illness or not, did something heinous and evil. And there are people that are not going to recover from this. And we want to keep the focus on the woman who was gone for weeks. Or it's just sickening. It's so sickening. Let's get down to the real. You know, even his brother was like implying that there might be some conspiracy going on. This is really weird. My brother would never do this. But nobody wants to just be real and say, this is some really fucked up stuff that someone did, and let's focus on that individual. Yeah. I'm done. I'm off the soapbox. It's just
no,
so frustrating.
It is. It's the why, and I get it. Yes, today I read a story about his father, the bank robber.
The bank robber.
Just trying to figure it out, and that's what it is. It's like this senseless act. I get it. And the one thing that I did read about that was really just, I think, hit it on the head, is in this situation when it's like a white guy who shoots someone, we don't have to worry about like this making all white people look bad.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You know, if it was a Muslim person,
oh.
There were people who wrote, the person who wrote this, and I wish I remembered the name, but it was in one of the millions of things that I tried to sift through. But he was like, if this was a Muslim, I would have to worry about this making me look bad.
Absolutely.
But if you're white, you just don't have to. It's not going to make all white people look bad. It's, let's file them in the same drawer as like Timothy McVeigh and the Unabomber and Dylann Roof about like repressed white people who don't know what to do. And then they do this. I don't know, ..
Did they ever find out why they did it? Did they ever find out why that guy went into that theater in Colorado? He's still alive. The thing is that it's so fascinating when a person thinks, we don't do stuff like this.
Right.
Yes, you do.
Let's file it in this. The drawer that you file it in is like they snapped for like your average white person, whatever that means. But if it's a Muslim person, it's because they're a terrorist.
Yeah.
If it's a black person, it's because he's inherently violent.
Yeah. What's real quick we got to go to break soon. But what stood out to me the most about his brother Eric and what he had to say about Paddock was he wasn't a gun nut.
Yeah.
They found 23 guns in the hotel room. And we live in this, you know, country where having several guns doesn't make you a gun nut.
That's right.
You know, being armed to the, you know,
tilt
to the teeth, right? Yeah. Is it to the teeth or
yeah.
to the teeth?
No, and it's teeth. And you know what else is weird to me? Armed to the teeth, which is he's a crazy genius.
Oh.
What a flattering archetype. Because you have like the, you know, the Unabomber was a professor, a crazy yeah. genius. He was too smart.
Oh, he owned two planes.
Yeah, this one, he used one of the ex-boyfriends of the, you know, sister of the girlfriend, of the sister of the girlfriend was, said, you know, he used algorithms yeah. to systematically identify the slot machine, the video poker machines that would pay off. And
they made her the mastermind, right? Wasn't she the mastermind?
But that's the thing. And then there's a bunch of, I'm just trying to figure out and going through. You can go, you choose how deep rabbit hole you're going to go down into. If it's a conspiracy by the NRA to drum up support for guns, because that happens afterwards. Is it by George Soros and people who sell, you know, metal detectors as an attempt to get people to go
so
buy metal detectors.
It's, yeah, okay. And it's
so
insulting
far.
To the
to
people
the
that lost their lives.
Yes.
Okay, that is insulting to the people.
Yes.
It's incredible because, you know, on one hand, you have the legal counsel for CBS getting fired for saying heinous things
terrible.
About the victims, and she deserved to get fired. But at the same time, what about the people that are peddling these ridiculous conspiracy theories yeah. about what? Companies behind metal detectors conspired to do this? Is that one of the conspiracies?
That's one
that
of them.
That is so disgusting
yeah.
and so insulting. Same with that piece of shit Alex Jones saying that this was a false flag operation.
Yes. Say it, Anna, say it.
Just
It is disrespectful to the victims. And I will tell you, people who care about human beings don't ever celebrate when any group is hurt, whether they're gay in Florida or white in Vegas. Those of us who are human beings and care about human beings, this is a loss for us all. So when you go out and talk about football players or whatever, you need to shut that up. You're disrespecting those people who have to mourn right now.
All right, we got to take a break. Tweet to us using the hashtag TYTLive, and we will be right back. Hey guys, welcome back to TYT. I just want to read one tweet because it really stood out to me, and it was not chosen by one of our producers for me to read. It was sent to me directly, and I want to address it. I actually lost it right now. But anyway, someone tweeted to me in response to what I had to say about the US not being the best country in the world, and it hurt his feelings. Good. Okay, because here's the thing, I actually do love America. Just because I'm criticizing it doesn't mean I don't love my country. But if you sit there and pretend like the US is perfect, then you never improve it. You never fix societal ills, you never fix the problems. People who are oppressed will continue to be oppressed. People will continue to be taken advantage of. People will continue to die. We will continue to send our soldiers to wars that they shouldn't be sent to. We'll just keep things the same. And so if you're uncomfortable with me criticizing some of our policies and how far removed we are from the idea of America, and you're threatening me by canceling your membership as a result of that, bye. Okay, because the reality is I want to make this country great. And you don't make the country great by pretending like it's perfect. It's not perfect, and we need to fix a lot of different issues. So, and if that hurts people's feelings, I don't care. I just don't.
I get it. It turns me off when you say that. Like, it definitely does when you say it. It turns me off for an obvious reason where it's like, but I live here and I love it and I'm from here, though I do understand every argument you're making.
Yeah, because we bought
for
into
me,
the propaganda
like,
all our lives. That's why.
Like, I get it. and I don't know. I like the statement like democracy is the worst form of government except for all the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where else do I want to live? Norway? It's cold.
But I'll tell you this, that being my mom is from Puerto Rico, my father is Dominican, third world country immigrant, and my stepfather is Cuban. That the beautiful thing about being an American is that she should be able to express
yeah.
that, right?
That's
without,
what the First Amendment is.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
And it's so frustrating because even now they want to tell you, No, that's not right. If it's not, if you don't agree, we have so many problems in this country. The levels of depression have gone up because people are constantly, well, thanks to the social media and the internet, we get to see all the problems all the time. But we have the right to be able to say this. And so many men say stuff like this all the time. It really ruffles people's feathers when you hear a woman say things like that. She's not un-American. That's the most American thing you can possibly say.
Yeah, loving your country means that you want to protect the idea behind it, right? And we're not doing that. We're doing the exact opposite of that. And I think that it's just a bad idea to sit there and pretend like we're perfect. We need to solve a lot of problems. And I don't know. Anyway, well, there's a lot of inaction. And part of the reason why is because we have been hypnotized into a state of perpetual complacency. And it's time for us to wake up.
That's a hashtag right there.
Now, if you're like one of the people, the guy who tweeted Anna or girl who tweeted Anna, and you think a guy, and you think canceling your subscription isn't strong action enough, call to have her deported. Let me get into our next story.
Yes, please.
So Donald Trump's ICE hotline, it's essentially an 800 number where you can call to have people deported. It's called Voice, not to be confused with The Voice, which is a show on NBC that won an Emmy, good for them. This one is Victims of Immigration Crime and Engagement, which is just so shoehorned in there. Like they wanted to call it Voice before they came up with what all the letters stood for. People are using it to deport their in-laws, among other things. It seems like, and it was originally set up to report violent crimes perpetrated by rapists who are bringing drugs or whatever Trump said, but people are using it to deport their in-laws. Boing Boing reports a study done through the Freedom of Information Act, and here are some logs of calls from people who have used the Voice system. The first one: caller requested to report her mother-in-law and sister-in-law. Caller stated these individuals came to the US as tourists and stayed in the US in order to get legal status. The next one is, caller stated the undocumented individual is destroying her family and is committing adultery. Caller requested to report his ex-wife that is undocumented as an overstayed on her visa. And caller requested to report an undocumented alien who is accusing him of domestic violence in order to obtain legal status. Caller claims subject is legal wife. That last one's kind of terrifying.
Yeah, so look, this is a terrible use of the hotline. The hotline shouldn't exist, period.
Right,
because this is a form of vigilante justice and we're not supposed to have vigilante justice. But let's say someone that we really dislike, like Sean Hannity. We find out that Sean Hannity is really not a US citizen. He overstayed his visa. Would you use this hotline?
Yes.
Same. Yes. It's kind of, I'm kind of a hypocrite.
Even its intended use. Once it was announced, I was like, this is not going to go well.
Right.
Like it is intended so you can be like, it just invites people to go like, that guy's got a Mexico accent.
Yep. It's like the moat.
That is totally a statement that Trump would make of Mexico. He was speaking Mexican.
No, I did. You know, when I listen to this stuff, it's like, I know when people watch me here, they're like, everything's happened to Ida. Everything has. So when I think about this stuff, that's why I'm a comedian, so I can cope with my tragedy. My father was deported 3 times and is probably one of the least, he's probably one of the most harmless people on the planet. It's just the abuse to continuously hold people down. And it's just this kind of, these are people that are related to you in some way, have been related to you. You have a child. This is the kind of stuff that is being fed and an infection that keeps spreading. It was here. And we saw it when Barack Obama was president. Yeah. Then Trump just busted wide open, and now the infection is spreading all over the place. But this is the kind of stuff that has caused so much division in this country, and it's just so hateful. Like that just sounds really, really hateful. So imagine if all minorities got their white friends and said, "Listen, Becky, every time I see a white guy who looks suspicious with a backpack, I want you to call the police and report him."
It's a form of McCarthyism,
right? Imagine.
And that's problematic, to say the least. Profiling people, giving, you know, Americans the green light to, you know, go after individuals and you know, threaten their well-being. Like, it's just, it's not what a leader in the government is supposed to do. Right. Again, the government is supposed to protect us. And look, whether you're here as a US citizen or an undocumented immigrant, everyone who's in the country is protected by the Constitution. The Constitution protects all of us. And that is something that a lot of Americans, I feel like, don't know. And if they do find out about it, they have a hard time grappling with. But there have been several Supreme Court rulings indicating that regardless of your legal status, the Constitution protects you. And we should have, you know, common sense, comprehensive immigration reform instead of, you know, letting people like Donald Trump continue to divide the country.
So we have two more stories. We have time for one of them.
Yes.
Did you want to do the, okay, let's just do the 20-week abortion ban. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Let's do that.
Okay.
Let's do that.
So the House of Representatives has passed a bill that would ban abortion after 20 weeks. And there is one member of the House who was, by voting for it, made a total hypocrite. We'll tell you first about the bill. The bill, according to The Hill, would make it a crime to perform or attempt an abortion after 20 weeks of pregnancy with the possibility of a fine, up to 5 years in prison or both. The bill allows exceptions in cases of rape, incest, or to save the life of a woman, and wouldn't penalize women for seeking to get abortions after 20 weeks. It would just focus on the physicians who performed the abortion. The idea being that after 20 weeks, the fetus can feel pain, respond to sounds, etc. People who are anti-abortion say that this is just reduces the cruelty of late-term abortions. People who are pro-choice say that this is the reduction in the availability and safety of legal abortion in America. There is one representative from Pennsylvania who voted for the ban. His name is Tim Murphy, but the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette looked at records from his divorce and found out about his affair with a woman named Shannon Edwards. Mm-hmm. And here are the details from that.
Mm-hmm.
Murphy admitted to the affair in September. Edwards, a forensic psychologist, exchanged texts with Murphy earlier this year, wherein she implied that the anti-abortion legislator had personally encouraged her to have an abortion during a pregnancy scare. It continues. In response to an anti-abortion post on the congressman's Facebook page in January, Edwards texted, "And you have zero issue posting your pro-life stance when you had no issue asking me to abort our unborn child just last week when you thought it was one of the options."
It reminds me of Desjarlais, another politician who forced his mistress to have abortions, and it happens time and time again. And First, let me address late-term abortions. We're running out of time, but late-term abortions don't happen often. No. And when they do happen, it's because the mother's life is at risk or the fetus is so severely,
compromised.
That's
has good. Birth defects.
Birth defects. That's where I was going. The birth defects are so severe that there's no other choice than to either miscarry, have a stillbirth, or have an abortion. And so, you know, people on the right make this a big issue, when in reality, it's not an issue at all. They just want to slowly but surely chip away at reproductive rights because their argument is, well, we believe in protecting life. Well, if you really worry about protecting life, nearly 60 people just got murdered in Las Vegas. Do something about that, because those were lives that were lost because of your inaction, okay? But when it comes to the issue of reproductive rights, it's not about protecting life. What it's really about is either punishing women that you feel shouldn't be sexually liberated, or controlling women, or pandering to your religious base. Other than that, other than you trying to look for political brownie points, that's all it really is. And look, actions speak louder than words. If you really believe that, you know, abortion is killing human lives, why are you asking your mistress to have an abortion? They're disgusting hypocrites. They're disgusting hypocrites. Anyway, go ahead, guys.
No, yeah. I feel the same way. I feel like I was just thinking about that. Were you taking action to ensure that people's lives continue, the people who are here. I think that as a woman, it's exhausting that we're constantly, it feels like the fucking Handmaid's Tale is like coming to life. And we are constantly having to protect our basic rights. Like, we're still trying to get paid. We're still trying to fight for our own bodies. And it just, when I hear about these guys, he's just one that got busted. He got exposed. He is one of many.
Yeah. And if one thing that I just suggest people go read, it's called "I Carry My Grief in a Visible Bump. Don't Ban Abortion for Women Like Me." It was written in response to the Ohio heartbeat bill. Read it.
All right, guys. Thanks for watching. We will see you tomorrow.